Let us pray. Our Father and our God, in the name of Jesus, we give thanks unto you for the opportunity which you've given unto us to be here today. Thank you for life. Thank you that in you we move, we live, and have our very existence. As we look into your word, O God, I pray that your word will look back into us, albeit your word will take precedence in our life in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit divine, you are the one that brings to our remembrance every word of Christ. You are the one that teaches us what the will of God is. We're open to you this morning. And we say, teach us, and we shall learn indeed, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my God. In Jesus' excellent name, we have prayed. Amen. This morning, I want to share a message with you saying he's calling you out. Say that with me. He's calling you out. Point to somebody. He's calling you out. Tell somebody. He's calling you out. I mean, you could tap somebody on the shoulder if he's not looking and say, I'm talking about you. He's calling you out. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis, chapter 11. I read to you from verse 27 to 32. Genesis 11, verse 27 to 32. And I read, now these are the generational Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in the Ur of the Chaldees. Verse 29, and Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife was Michal, the daughter of Haran, the father of Michal, the father of Isaac. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. Verse 31. And Terah took his son and Lot, his nephew, Sarah, the daughter-in-law, and they went forth from the halls of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. And when they came to Haran, they dwelt there. Verse 32, the days of Terah was 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. May the Lord bless the word of is written in our hearts today in Jesus' name. Now, when we look at verse 31 again, we will see that Terah had a vision of going to the land of Canaan. He took his family with him and set out on a journey to go to Canaan. Now, he came to a place between his origin, which was in the Ur of the Chaldeans, and Canaan, and he decided to dwell there. When we talk about dwelling, we're talking about settling in the place. Now, for a man with a vision of Canaan to settle in some place other than his original destination speaks volume to decision making. Perhaps Terah was tired of the journey. Probably the journey has been long and challenging. Perhaps his journey through the wilderness along the way had been very tasking on him. For there were moments that the water dried up, probably the food, the resources was not enough. And all of that must have been a strong burden on him. But along the way, he came to an oasis called Haran. But at this oasis, he was able to get the supply that he originally needed. He was able to see things that he had been lacking for a few weeks, probably a few months, or probably a few years since he departed from the Ur of the Chaldeans. Now, in getting to this place, Haran definitely looked better than the wilderness which he has been coming from or passed through up to this moment. And definitely it looked better than the Ur of the Chaldeans that he has left behind. Somehow, this man with a vision of Canaan, made a decision to settle in Haran based on his previous experiences in the wilderness and not on his original vision. So, Terah, who was heading actually to Canaan, got to a place that gave him an immediate relief, and he decided to stay. Probably he was thinking in his mind, I have struggled this long up to this point. What is the guarantee that if I'm going to that Canaan, I will not meet another set of struggle? He believed that now that he has seen grain, that's okay. He has prayed, he has done everything, but now the Lord has answered his prayer, and he felt Haran was the place to be. So his decision to dwell, to settle in Haran, was based on the experiences that he has had, and suddenly his vision dimmed, and probably he truncated it. Terah's journey to Canaan is mirrored, perhaps, in somebody's life this morning. It could be a mirror of your life in relationship. It could be a mirror of your life in your career, in your intellectual development, in business, perhaps in your family, or perhaps in your choice of friendship, or even in the land which you are dwelling. You started out with a vision when everything started in mind, but in the journey from where you were to where you are going, you had encounters that you never bargained for. Somehow you're feeling the challenge, and in some cases, it has been gruesome to you. From where you are right now, it's almost impossible for you to go back to what you have left behind, but you still find yourself in this wilderness experience. For some, they have prayed. They've persevered in the place of prayer, and somehow God has answered your prayer. Let me say this to somebody here. Many, many are the affliction of the righteous. But let me remind you, God knows how to deliver such a person out of it all. Regardless of the strength, the quality, and quantity of your affliction, I have good news for you this morning. You will be delivered in Jesus' name. He will not suffer your bone to break unnecessarily. And if it breaks, he will mend it back for you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, at this point in time, like I said, it might be a mirror. My question to you today is that, with the answer to that prayer, have you finally settled in the Haran of your life? Have you gotten to the Haran of your life that has an appearance of where you're going? Or have you made a decision to stay where you are now because of the experiences that you have had in the past? Which vision or what vision did you have initially? Where are you now in the journey of your life? How has the journey been so far for you? Are you still in the wilderness? Or you have come out of that wilderness? Are you now in the Haran of your life that there is a level and relief from the previous turmoil that you were going through? You have struggled for so long. And now you realize that you don't have to struggle like you have done in the past, and you have settled for what you have received. You see, perhaps you had a vision before you came to America that here in the land of the brave and the free, where opportunities can be explored and grabbed, your goal, your lifetime career goal, you said it can work in here. But then, after getting in here, reality sets in, For the things that you see before you says to you, you don't have the skill set. You have an accent. You call church shosh. Therefore, it cannot work. The people don't understand you. Your name is strange, and they can't pronounce your name. Perhaps the color of your skin. Even your degree, say, no, don't recognize that degree here. You need to do this, you need to do that. Even though you had a vision of a breakthrough. But then your bills are piling up. And what do? You decide to settle for a career that at least will pay your bills. And in settling for that, at least you now convince yourself that my original goal was to get a boatload of money. But now, at least God has answered my prayer, and I have this small job that is at least paying my bills. And then you settle with that, saying, a bird in hand is what two in the bush. Maybe God doesn't want me to do that. This is what God has for me now. You have settled. You have made a decision to be inherent of your life based on the experiences of your journey, and you have forgotten your original vision. Perhaps in our relationship, in my marriage, you have a vision of what your marriage is supposed to be. But now, after a number of years, all those arguments, those fights, those feelings of non-appreciation have set in. And you have settled for what I call an uneasy peace within your relationship. You've made a decision that in the interest of peace, I will tolerate him. I will tolerate her because I don't want any more fights. And you have forgotten about the original vision. You are so concise in seeing the wrong in the order to the point that you don't see what is great. So you wake up, you sleep in argument and discord. But in the interest of peace, you decide that you keep your peace so that they won't think, he won't think, she won't think. You have settled down and you have made a decision in the arena of your life, in the journey of your life, you are inherent and you have forgotten the original vision that you had when you were coming into this relationship. Perhaps you had a vision, or you have a vision of the kind of person you want. But then, in the journey of seeking a life partner, you realize that your biological clock is ticking away. You had a vision that by the time I'm X years old, I must be married. But now you've gone past and you're still going beyond. Perhaps the pressure from your family is heavy on you. Your siblings are getting married and you're going to naming ceremony and you nobody's calling you a spouse. Somehow that pressure is on you so tight that you're willing to settle for anybody because you don't want that pressure anymore. You are making a decision at the harem of your life based on the past experiences of your journey, the pressure of your body and the people around you, and not based on the original vision that you had consigning a life partner. I could go on several examples, but let me stay with that. You want your shame to be covered. That's why you made that decision. I have news for you. Terah that decided to settle down in Haran must have seen something that was good enough for him and decided not to go on. This morning, I want to say to somebody who is here, who is in the Haran of your life, be it your relationship, be it at work, be it in your body, be it in the land, be it in this church. It doesn't matter where you are the harem and you have settled for less than the best. He's calling you out. You are carrying an unnecessary burden, an emotional distress in your life in Haran. For you knew somehow where you are going is not where you are, but it's good enough and you have settled. You are carrying a burden that you need not carry. In your heart, you can feel the burning desire saying, I know it can be better than this, but you are afraid to leave where you are because at least it's better. You have tried in the past that could be better, but it never got better. But now that God has given you some relief, you decide, let me just stay here. Maybe that vision was a wrong vision. Terah stayed in Haran. I guess what happened to him there? He died in Haran without fulfilling his original vision. I say to somebody who's in Haran, who's still alive today, who within you still feel that I can be better than this. My life could be better than this. My marriage could be better than this. I'm good enough for that woman. I'm good enough for that man. You still have it within you in spite of the pressure around you. He's calling you out. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus said to those who are distressed, who are in the harem of their life, but yet still alive, he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. He now went on to say, take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus is saying to you, where you think you have settled down is not the place I have in mind for you. You are settling down with a lot of burden where you are. In the interest of peace, you are doing what you're doing so that your shame can be covered. You've settled for the wrong person in your life so that people will not say things against you. You have settled for what God has not said yes to in your life. You're living in the harem of public opinion and not God's opinion. He's calling you out. He's calling you out. You see, after Terah died in Haran, in the place of settlement, something of significance began to happen. Back to Genesis chapter 12. Continue the story from Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1 to 5. Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1 to 5. Listen to this. This was after Terah had died in Haran. Now the Lord said unto Abram, that the son of Terah, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from whose house? Thy father's house, unto a land that I, the Almighty God, will show thee. He now went on to say, I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. He went on to say, make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Who's saying all these words? To who? Abraham. He now went on to say, I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. In other words, saying that you find those who will bless you, where I will show you. You find those who will curse you, where you are going. And he said, in thee shall the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 4 now said, so Abraham did what? Departed from the land of settlement. And as the Lord has spoken unto him, went with Lot. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Verse 5. And Abraham took his wife, took his nephew, Lot, and all the substance that they had gathered in the place of settlement, and all the souls that gathered in Haran. Please, let's read that last one together. One, two, go. And they went forth into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Can anybody see what's going on in here? Terah was the one who had the vision for Canaan. He started on the journey quite right, but he got to Haran and he settled there and he died. But he did not even realize that the vision that he had initially was a vision from God. But when he got to a place that he felt comfortable, at least I can pay my bills, at least my shame has been covered, at least now I have a fiance, now they won't say, we settled. God said, no, I gave a father a vision. Now you must carry on. God is calling somebody here who's still alive in the place of Haran. He's calling you out to the place of fulfillment. There's something waiting for you out there in the Canaan of your life that you know nothing about. Where you're going is greater than the Haran that you find yourself. God wants you to hear and recognize his voice. He called out to Abraham, saying, come out. Abraham heard him when he said, come out, and he went. Can you recognize his voice? He wants you to believe in him. He wants you to know that whatever he says you can do, you will do it. You know why? He has your back. He wants to upgrade your vision. Now you have settled in Haran, but God is saying, I need to upgrade your vision. Your father was the one that had a vision of Canaan, and you followed him. But right now, you need to upgrade your vision for Canaan, for that was where I originally intended for your family. You have come this far and have settled, but you need to go further. Greatness awaits somebody here today. The blessings of God await you ahead of you. Nations are going to be birthed through you. I'm talking about businesses, ideas, solutions that will come out from within you. If Mark Zuckerberg, or what's his name, the Facebook guy, can be doing something that you and I are tapping into today, who said you cannot do it still? What makes you that you need to always support somebody's economy when your own economy can be supported also? Who said that you are the one that is always in problem, that you need a solution? Don't you know that you can be a solution? You see, on this journey, like God said, go to verse 2. He's talking about distinct things. He said, I will make you a great nation. God is saying, where you are right now, you think you're great, but there's something greater waiting ahead of you. He said, I will bless you, saying that you think you are blessed through settlement because now you can pay your bills. You have a car that you've not even finished paying the car note. You feel that you've got everything. No, there's more ahead for you. He said, you will be a blessing. And this is what I can encourage us in this church. You don't recognize the fact that you're a blessing already. Here, God is saying to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make you a blessing. Where in this did Abraham say, God bless me? You are blessed and highly favored already. Why are you praying that God bless me? You are blessed already. Say, I'm blessed already. He said, I will make you a blessing. He said, I will make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And for the fearful, in verse 3, he said, I will bless them that recognize your blessing. And I will curse them that do not recognize your blessing. I want to be a hindrance to you. But he said, don't worry about that. He said, in thee shall the families of the world be blessed. You see, you have a small vision of God bless me in Haran. As long as I can pay my bills, send my kids to school, and pay for my car, contentment is next to godliness. No! Don't you know that the God that you serve is not a stationary God, it's in motion. He calls those things that are not as if they are. Are you not aware that this God that we're talking about is not a God that can be stuck in the temple? He's the God of the entire universe. God didn't call you to be stagnant. He said, be fruitful and do what? Multiply. What are you doing in one station when you can be greater than this? God wants you to refresh the vision of your career. That career that you've abandoned because you came to America, you don't have the skill set. Go to school. Go and learn a new skill. Go down refreshing your skill and pursue that career. Why are you settling for small when you are great already? Refresh your vision of relationship. Don't base your relationship based on what somebody else is telling you. Base it on what God is telling you. Saying that I will love her. I will respect him. Together we're one and we will do it. Renew the vision. You're settling with the vision that somebody else told you what a guy should look in your life, what a girl should look like in your life. Meanwhile, you have your own vision, but you're basing on what some other joker is telling you is for God. No. You seem to have forgotten that the very first woman saw God and God brought her to the man. And when the man saw her, he said, behold, my own. Do you have a vision? You need to stop succumbing and settling to external pressures. He's calling you out. It's time for you to move on. Your profession is calling you. Listen to your calling. Open the door and listen. God is calling you to a place of prominence, a place of excellence, to the cutting edge of new and bright, wonderful ideas. Break out of that tradition. Break out from the custom of limitation. Break out from that religious dogma. Break out from the fear of failure and come to something new and fresh. It was God that said, Abraham, get out of your country. The way they're thinking limits you. Get out of your kindred. Their way of thinking is not the way I've called you. He said, get out even of your father's house for you to understand I'm saying you're greater than your father. Any father that wants his child to be less than him is not worthy to be called a father. And God is saying, you don't need to stay in that place anymore. Our custom, our tradition says this is how we do it. God is saying, no. You are limiting yourself to a small people when you have a whole world waiting for you. People that are successful in the world are not limited to their own backyard. They're reflected in the world economy. What is the matter with us? Why are we still praying for small stuff when God is calling you out to something greater than this? If a man will put a candle on the candlestick that he may provide light to everybody, how much more him? The Lord that knows the divine potential within you, place you in a place of prominence, being the light to those who are ignorant. You see, Jesus came and said, I've come that you may have life and life, have life in abundance. Have you settled just to pray that God will provide for you what you will eat, what you will drink, and what you will put on? When God has called you to the place where you will be a provider to those who are lacking, have you settled for the fact that God is your refuge, is your strength, your very present help, when in actual sense, he has called you to tread upon the scorpion, upon the serpent, upon every power of the enemy? You are afraid of an enemy. God is calling you to go forward. But you're saying, God, protect me. Hey, hide me. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. What's the matter with you? He has called you something greater than where you are right now. It's because you are not even aware or you're settled. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, for you shall show forth for the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Brethren, we all know this. But have you settled for the knowledge that you're a chosen generation? Or you're coming out knowing the reason why he chose you? He said you're a royal priesthood. Have you settled for somebody to pray for you? Someone to lay hands on you? Someone to give you white handkerchief so that you can be when he has called you to be a praying man? You know when I say you're a priest? It means you are standing before God on behalf of, but you don't understand. Not until a pastor prays for you. Not until I use holy water or anointing oil. Then you feel you're not delivered. What's the matter with you? You're a royal priesthood. He said, you're a peculiar, he said, a holy nation. Have you settled? Listen to this. Have you settled to say, well, if I keep on praying for my nation, this evil nation, these bad people, God will protect me from them. No. God has called you to be the holy nation. He's asked you to rise up and establish righteousness wherever you are. He's not talking about what is wrong with the nation. And guess what? We talk. Woo! We talk. And the lazy ones will say, I know that when Jesus shall come, he will make all things right. Don't you know that you are the Christ of the moment? What solution are you bringing? Are you talking more about it? Oh, by the way, he said you're a peculiar people. Perhaps you've settled for the label of saying, I am a Christian. And that's the problem. You're settled for that label. Me, I'm a Christian, no. Every time you talk, you're talking about, the Lord will do it. Oh, I know my Father will do it. You're talking too much without even realizing that you are a peculiar person. You're not just a label for Christ. But rather, you are the Christ. He said, to show forth for his praises. For many of us, it's easy for us to come out and say, see what the Lord has done. No, I praise God for this. I praise God for that. I'm not saying anything is wrong with that. But are you aware that he has called you, that people will see what's happening in your life and will join you in praising God because you're a gift to them? You see, when you're selfish, like we read this morning, when you have selfish faith, you are limited in the scope of your understanding of what you are called to. You need to see beyond yourself and your situation right now. You need to have a vision that's greater than you. You are here to serve as a solution to mankind. Your gift will make room for you before kings. Before kings, not because you should eat and dine with them, but because he wants you to be an influence to them in such a way that they will influence the rest of the nation. Anybody remember Esther? Esther found herself in the palace, and she was an influence for the people. Anybody remember the man called Daniel? Daniel found himself in the palace, and his faith was tested. But you know the interesting thing? He took the risk because of what he believed in. And because of his risk, the nation changed their rules. Or maybe you don't know. They said, bow down to this idol. I said, I won't bow. But at the end of the day, they said, okay, this one, do your thing. You, do your thing. Don't ever touch me again. Are you aware that God can use you to change the rules in the nation? Brethren, he's calling you out. Your vision is so very limited. And you are walking based on the things that surround you. Your prayer is so small that you don't recognize that your words can change things. If there's anything I pray for myself, and hopefully for those who find themselves in the hiring of their life, is saying, God, give me a bigger vision. I'm not here to see your weakness anymore. And I won't talk about your weakness because it doesn't matter to me. But I see your strength and I'll push you based on your strength. Now, if you have a small vision of yourself, even when I'm correcting you, say you can do better. You say, no, this is all I know. Yeah. And I agree with you now. That's why I don't argue anymore. If I say do this, you say I can't do it, I leave you alone. Why? Because you have a small vision. I'll pray that God will give you a bigger vision. Let me close with this. In the book of Kings, there was a prophet called Elisha who had spoken a great deal against the Syrian army. There came a day while he was in his house with a servant. The servant woke up and went out to prepare breakfast. And lo and behold, he saw that they were surrounded by the Syrian army. He ran in back inside quietly and said, "Oga, wake up, we're in trouble." And I imagine Elisha waking up, wiping off the water color from his mouth. I said, "What is it?" He said, "We're in trouble." He said, "What happened?" "Soldiers are out there to get you." And Elijah said, "Oh, is that why you woke me up? Those who are for us are more than those who are against us." And the guy looked at his master. "Really?" He went outside, saw they were surrounded. I said, "Sir, I'm counting. By my side, there's 1, 2, 2, 1. Anyway, I look at it, there are only 2 of us. How can you tell me that those who are for us are more than those who are against us?" Elisha did something which I would love to do today. He said, "Boy, your vision is very limited. You are walking by sight and not by faith. You don't seem to realize that the things that you see with your eyes, they are temporal, but the things that you do not see are the ones of eternal value." And Elisha said, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." And boom, suddenly, he realized that, yes, he could see that the enemy has surrounded them to put pressure on them. But guess what? Around the enemy were also chariots of fire around the enemy's too. Do you know what that means? You see enemy pressuring you. Guess what? The Lord has sent help to pressure the enemies of your life. This morning, like I said, you might be here. I stand because I know that my vision needs to change, and it has changed indeed. I don't see you, this small church, but I see a nation of greatness. I didn't miss my words. I don't see you, small church, but I see a nation of greatness. I guarantee you, I know this, and God in his own divine way made me hear those words again this week, and I was super excited that God, what kind of God are you? I've said it before to you in this church. During service, the men in black will be out there waiting for you because they need you in Washington. I tell them, I'm at service, tell them to wait. When I'm done, I'll go with you. Most of you don't even believe that. I'm saying that you'll be so important to the nation that they will wait for you. You tell them, "I'm worshiping my God. When I'm done, I'll deal with your problem for you." I guarantee you, it will happen in my own lifetime, because I shall live and not die to see the glory of the Lord in your lives. Amen. The days are coming when it won't be this close to you. And I've said it before in this church. It's more like, "Hey, Tokumbo is one of my best friends. We won't be able to talk to one another in church. It'll be later because there's too much to do for her, too much to do for me. Charles is busy with some other things, and everybody's busy because we are building nations." I see people here opening businesses that will affect nations. I know you have a small vision for Augusta, but where God is taking you to, this will be the center of excellence. I'm saying that you'll be owners of franchise. Maybe you don't know. The people who own all this franchise, Mickey D, Burger King, you don't even know them. They're making a lot of money selling franchise. And people are running helter-skelter, and they're playing golf. And you are here praying to God that, "God, bless me, help me to pay my bills." No, God can do more than that. My God is a great God. Do you have a vision for yourself? This morning, like I said, for those who are in the harem of their lives, eyes closed, heads bowed, please. You know you're in the harem of your life, and somewhere within you, you're feeling that move that, "I need to break out of this limitation, to break out from this dogma. They said this is the way they do it." And you yourself, you know within you, there's something saying, "No, you're better than this. This is not everything I have for you." You're looking at the things you have, but you're not looking at what God has for you. You need a vision. And you're saying, "God, give me a vision. Home is not what you expect. intended to be. But right now, it is a war zone. But you know it can be better. You are crying out to God. What you need is not God said to my home. It's Lord God, give me a new vision. You're seeing your spouse as a problem. No. You have eye problem. There's something great about your spouse. What you see as a problem in your spouse, you are the solution to it. Begin to solve. Your career is so difficult. No. Difficult because you called it difficult. You need a new vision. If you're here this morning and you believe you need a new vision, I just want you to lift up your hands onto God for a couple of minutes and I'll pray along with you. Elisha prayed for his servant and said, Lord, let him see. I'm going to pray for you that God will let you see. If you're here today and you are sure that you need a new vision for your life, I want you to just lift up your hands to God. And if anybody sees you, it doesn't matter. As long as God sees you, it's what really matters. Please be bold and rise up on your feet because I want to pray along with you. I'm standing on my feet. I need a new vision. So you're here this morning. You know you need a new vision. Rise up on your feet. And I'll pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know that you're the Lord that can open the eyes of the blind. These ones are not standing up to any man but unto you. And I pray for them. That, Lord, you shall open their eyes and give them a clear vision for life, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, let there be a pattern of the darkness of limitation, and let there be a focus of abundance in their life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Where they are weak, Lord, give them fresh strength, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I know that indeed the devil is a liar. It's a father of deception. But because you are the truth, and the truth is in you, Father, let your truth begin to set my brothers and my sisters free, O God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you that they will come back and say, indeed, the Lord has done it for me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Sit down.